GoodSuccess.com. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to learn at your feet again today. You are the one who gives us the power to get wealth. And we ask in the name of Jesus that no one returns back the same way today. Grant us an encounter of a lifetime. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Amen. The topic remains Common Sense Guide to Building Wealth. And it's a continuation of the series called Kingdom Mysteries and Miracles for Good Success. We started this series several weeks back, but we started this topic, part one of it, last week, and we're able to learn a lot of things. One of the things we learned last week is that wealth is built. It doesn't come by chance. Even if riches come by chance, you will have to learn the basics of building to keep the wealth. If not, it will just fly away. The Bible says riches develop wings and flies away. So if you don't know how to keep it like a bird, if a bird comes your way and you don't know how to feed it, it will definitely not form a relationship with you. So we can as well say that money or riches, you can compare them with a bird. So don't labor to be rich. That's what Proverbs tells us. Let's read some scriptures today. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil. While some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Then 1 Timothy 6, 17 to 19, it says, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." Then we have a third scripture today, Deuteronomy 8:18, which we also read last week. It says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day." So if you missed last week, please go and listen to the episode. There's a lot to teach. And today also, I don't think we can finish what we have on ground, so we may still have to continue with this next week. Why do we have to take time to treat this topic? Because the Bible only recognizes, or Jesus only recognizes, one major enemy that Christians may have. And you know what it is? Not the devil. The devil was destroyed on the cross. He was silenced on the cross. He has no power anymore. He only goes about like, or in the similitude of, a roaring lion. The enemy of a believer is money. That's why the Bible says that you cannot serve God and mammon. KJV says mammon, but the meaning is money. You cannot serve God and money at the same time. So the reason every believer must take time to understand what God wants about wealth, what God says about riches, what God says about money, is so that you won't end up serving money. Because if you don't understand it, you end up serving it. And I will tell you how many of us may have been serving money already. How many hours in a week do we spend at work? Let me analyze it for you. You wake up in the morning. If your work starts by, let's say, 9 to 5, that's at least 8 hours of work. How many hours do we spend in prayer in a day? If you're a very serious Christian, which I know very few of Christians do that now, maybe 1 hour a day on prayer. Very few people spend more than 1 hour. In fact, very few people spend up to 15 minutes. And you'll be shocked that many people don't even spend 5 minutes in a day in prayer. That's one. Then number two, I've just said minimum 8 hours on your job every day, right? Not to talk of people who do two jobs or stay longer at work and all that. We do extra time. How many hours do you spend? Let's say some people do midweek services and you're able to go. Now, maybe maximum of 2 hours for your midweek service, or if it's longer, let's say 2 hours, that's the average most people spend in church during the week. Then some people have house fellowship, maybe another 1 hour. Then Sunday service. Now, everything I've mentioned now, they are still not up to 8 hours. Yet you spend 8 hours every day at work, minimum 8 hours. Who are you really spending time with? That means we spend time more on what brings money. So that is why you need to understand how to really make this money the right way, how to make sure that when this money comes, you don't end up serving this money, because money is a good servant, but not a good master. If anyone allows money to become his master, the person will probably end up in hell. So you want to be rich, to be wealthy, and still be in heaven. The Bible says about Abraham. Abraham did not just have a place in heaven. The Bible said he almost like he has a special place, because Lazarus, who was also a devout Christian, so to say, because that's how he ended up in paradise, and Abraham, who was a devout servant of God, was also in paradise. But Lazarus was asked to, almost saying that he was asked to go and squat in the place owned by Abraham in the kingdom. Both of them were, let's say, Christians. Now, we may not be able to call Abraham Christian, but let's use the word. Both of them were Christians, approved of God. But one enjoyed while on earth, the other one did not. But both of them still made heaven. That means riches, having money, having wealth, is not the reason why somebody is missing heaven. Not knowing how to manage it or not knowing how to make it properly may be the reason why somebody is missing it. Joseph of Arimathea did a good work as a rich person, as a politician, in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But at the same time, Judas was chasing money and he lost his place in the kingdom. So it means that we must know how to manage this thing that God has given us. In fact, Jesus says something. He said, if you don't know how to manage the earthly riches, then you won't know how to manage the things of the kingdom. He said, if you can't manage these normal earthly riches, how can you manage the things of the kingdom? And that is why we need to pay attention to this topic. Last week, we were able to learn some common sense guides to building wealth. The first thing we mentioned last week was, don't just leave your job and run on something else. You have a job that is paying your bills and all that, and you say, oh, I have a great idea. You just jump out and start a business that you don't even know anything about. Common sense says, don't do that. If you have a job already, you may want to consider staying on that job first. Try out your business plan or whatever business you have alongside. Then when it picks up and it begins to do more than the business you are doing, probably twice the business you are doing, or even three times, then you can leave. I mentioned the example of how I was paying my staff almost double of what I was getting in salary, and I was still in that job because I didn't hear a clear direction from God that I could leave. I will mention that the exemption is divine instruction. God can tell you to leave because he knows and he has told you that, yes, you're going to make it in that business. Then number two, mention the fact that don't just say because you are looking for a job or you want to start a business, so whatever little thing you can do now, you can't do it. No, whatever your hand finds to do, do it well. Get busy. Then we mentioned that you can trade your gifts to build wealth. You can trade your time. You can help people do things and they pay you in return. That is what a job is, essentially. Then you can trade your skill, all the things you've learned, how to use some software, how to use all those extra things you know how to do, maybe furniture work, you know, all those things, your skill, you can trade them to build wealth. In fact, one of the richest people in the world, his business is called Hobby Lobby. I'm mentioning because he's a Christian and he's one of the richest people on earth. And he honors God with his business and he's doing well in business. What do they do? Furniture work, crafts work, and all that. So if you know how to do crafts, it could be just a way for you to build your billions, in quotes. Then another thing I need to add to that is, believe that your gift and skills are good enough. Many of us see other people have all these skills with very big names. Python, something analytics, those big things, accounting, law, engineering. And you're like, the thing I have is just how to make clothes or how to cook food. All those things that people do normally. But you know you have a special skill in all these things. Don't look down on all those things, because they could just be the way through which God wants to bless you. Pay attention to them and believe they are good enough. Believe they are good enough. Somebody was sharing the example of how he got to a place and somebody was rejoicing because he could use, you see, Microsoft Access or something. And it was like, excuse me, in Nigeria, where I came from, nobody values all these things. Excel, Microsoft, who values them? And somebody's rejoicing that, wow, I just used it very well. Some people are making probably millions using all these normal skills. So whatever you are good at, you can still be wealth through them. Then today we're going to mention the fact that you need to leverage relationships. leverage relationships. Stop burning relationship bridges, except it's absolutely necessary. Now, somebody will say, yes, the guy jilted me, was supposed to get married, you now fought, you talked to him anyhow, you dealt with him anyhow, or maybe anyhow, whether male or female. You may not realize that the key to your future, the key to your wealth, the key to even the relationship you are talking about may still be that person who did the wrong thing. Because a relationship is getting over does not mean you should just end it anyhow. I understand that some relationships are going to be over, and we dealt with that in one of the episodes. Because it's getting over does not mean you should end it anyhow. Still treat people with respect. There's something that helps me and I think is good. Learn how to act and not to react. Even if you have to react, still react as if you are the one acting. What do I mean by that? Don't let people determine how you respond to them. Respond to them by what Jesus said you should do. Now, if somebody has hurt you, has wronged you, you think is the wrong relationship, and there's an episode coming that we dedicate to Common Sense Guide to Relating with People, and we talk about the roundabout of life, how there are three turns and there are four turns in almost every roundabout. At least you have the opportunity to make three right turns and then another one goes to the back. We will deal with that, you know, very soon. So learn how to deal with people. That person you are cutting off may still be an asset in your life. It may annoy you, it may be angry with you, but it may recommend you when your recommendation needs to be done. So you and I need to handle relationships well. That is talking about networking. Now, some people will think, yes, God is the only person I need in the world to help me. That's true. But do you know what? God uses people to bless you. If you begin to mishandle all the relationships that come your way, the person is far away from building wealth. Do you know that there's a realm of wealth that you cannot manage alone? When you are in the realm of maybe 500,000 or even 1,000,000, it's easy for you to manage it. But when it begins to go beyond that, you can't manage it alone. There are some skills that are required to manage some level of wealth, or even business, or whatever you do. When it grows to a level, I'm not talking about doing it alone, I'm talking about managing. There are some skills you need. You may have to hire somebody who has an MBA to manage some things for you. So we are talking about relationships here. Learn to meet the right kind of people and treat them well along your way to going up, because you may need them someday. So people are very important. It doesn't matter what they do to you. It doesn't matter how they react to you. It doesn't matter how they've treated you. Make sure you still keep your cool and remain a child of God. Then number 7, wealth does not just answer to prayers. Somebody will just sit down there and be praying and praying, God, make me rich, make me rich. If you check through the Bible, there is nobody I know of. If you find it, you can let me know. There is nobody I know of that prayed to God to make him rich. Check. Maybe if you know anyone now, you can drop in the chat. People ask God to bless them. Jabez said, oh, that you may bless me. Being blessed and being rich or being wealthy are two different things. Wealth, you can find it in blessings. But wealth alone is not what they call blessing in the Bible. It's empowerment to prosper. And prosperity is even beyond wealth. So it's not just a matter of prayers alone. There are various things involved. There are covenant things involved. There are things that you need to do. For example, like giving. Giving opens your access to receiving. But how do you receive? Please listen to the episode on Common Sense Guide to Receiving. How do you receive? You open avenues to receive. Working hard is one of the avenues for receiving. Starting a business is one of the avenues for receiving. So if you want to build wealth the kingdom way, realize that it is not just about prayer alone. We still mention the place of the spiritual, but it's not just about prayer alone. Prayers will help you open doors. And when the favor comes, is it prayer that will do the work? Prayers, favor, will open access for you to work, to apply wisdom, but they won't do the work for you. They will only open access and bring opportunities your way. Number 8. Building wealth starts with a dream. We also mentioned that last week. But it is just the beginning. It starts from a dream, but that's not where it ends. Somebody told me about somebody. He said, the person always has a plan. When you meet him, hey, what about this thing? When are you going to build your house? He said, he will say that, see, I have everything planned out. When are you going to get married? I have everything planned out. When are you going to do this course? I have everything planned out. Many of us are like that. We always have the plan, but execution, zero. So if you want to build wealth, it is not just about dreaming big and dreaming about doing all the great things you want to do. You need to take a step. The first step, we also did an episode on that. Please look for it and listen to it on the website too, and you'll be blessed. Number 8, leverage technology. I can't emphasize this enough. When I was in school, there was something I realized. You know, I have a background in construction, and during my 3 months IT and 1 year IT in the university then, when I was on site, I saw many people who did not go to school handling construction very well. And I saw many of them who just had maybe technical background and all that. But what they do on site, it's impressive. And I said, wait, if I finish school now, somebody has 25 years experience in structural engineering. I said, if I finish in school, how do I compete with this person? I said, one of the ways I can compete is to make sure I build myself up technology-wise. And that's what I started doing. Even I didn't have a laptop then, but I didn't let it stop me. When my friends go to watch football, I would stay back, borrow their laptop, and start learning. Before I left school, I collected money from many of them to train them some of those software, including the people I collected laptop from. Sorry, I don't like money, but you know, I had to teach them something that they didn't pay attention to learn, so I collected money from them to teach them. Now, what am I saying? It's no longer an information age. It is AI age. We are in the AI age. That's artificial intelligence age. I know many of us may have heard about ChatGPT and all these things. If you have not started using ChatGPT, I don't know what you are using on your phone anyway. So you need to start learning how to leverage technology. Whatever you sell, you need to think about getting a website. Even if you don't get a website, at least Instagram, Facebook. You can even sell on all these things. If you are not active on them, then what are you doing? Except your customers are only local and they can only come to you physically. But how do they even know that you are there if you don't have a way of reaching them? Leverage technology. No matter what you have studied, you studied accounting in school. Won't you learn how to use QuickBooks and all these things to do your work? Because that's it. In the coming age, they are going to be asking you how many can you use. So learn how to leverage technology. It can improve your life 100 times over, if not 1,000 times over. Your phone. Do you know that the phones we use now, the smartphones we use now, I read something that says that the first jet that, you know, Apollos, that they took to the moon, that this phone, this smartphone you have, is more sophisticated than that rocket. So if you have it and you are only using it to take pictures, anyway, no problem. If you are taking pictures of a product, fine. Or you are a brand ambassador for somebody, fine. But no, that's not the limitation of all these things. It's not just to make phone calls and all that. Leverage technology to build your wealth. Now, we've mentioned so many things today. I'll just do a quick recap. Don't just leave your job. That's for last week. Let me just jump to the ones we learned today again. We mentioned leverage relationships. Don't just burn relationship bridges anyhow, except it's necessary. And even if you have to sever a relationship, still do it with caution. Still do it as a child of God, because you may need that relationship in the future. Or somebody in that relationship may recommend you to somebody you need in the future. It does not only answer to prayers. Prayers will help you. We open doors for you. We open opportunities. But it's more than that. Then it starts with a dream, but it doesn't end there. Don't just keep sleeping. When you dream, rise up and work. Then leverage technology. Now, number 10, it says, focus on productivity, not activity. Focus on productivity, not activity. Now, let me paint a scenario. If you are familiar with Lagos in Nigeria, let's say you are living in Ota, very close to Canaan land. Maybe you are even a winner. And you are working in Lekki. I'm not talking about Lekki close one. All those far, some good Tedo, all those far ones inside. Now, you are living, that's like 2 worlds apart. And they are paying you 100K. Do you know that many people do jobs like that? They are paying them maybe 100K and is staying in Ota, far away. Now, that money may look like some money to you, but by the time you calculate the stress you go through, God forbid, the person may end up spending probably millions to get back on his health by the time everything comes to him. Don't just look at the figure of what they are paying you. Look at the value. Now, you can do that if that job is helping you build a future. You want to do a business in the line of that job and you have been offered. Now, you can take that job, go through that stress for a while, but have a plan for a while you pull out. Or you just go and live in Nigeria straight away. Or live in Chongotedo or wherever you want to live, close to your work. But don't just go through that stress. We're going to be talking about some other things later, about health, about some other common sense. But before we get there, don't just be busy. Focus on productivity. Even your business. You may be busy from morning to night. Ask yourself at night, what growth activities have I engaged in today? Have I just been busy? Or I'm being productive? Yes, what I'm doing now, maybe it's not bringing money. Is it going to bring money in the later future? These are the things you want to check. Don't just be busy. Focus on productivity. Do you know that many jobs that people spend 8 hours a day, if you give them the opportunity, if you let some people work from home, they won't spend more than 2 hours to do what they are assigned to do in 8 hours. So in your business, even when you're hiring people, you don't have to spend the normal 8 hours a day for a job. Like my business, we only do 6 hours because I realized that people don't need 8 hours to do things. We are probably more productive than some people who spend 10 hours in their job. We only do 6 hours. Whatever you need to do within 6 hours, you can get it done. Maybe later we'll even reduce it. And you see that we still get the same set of things done. Because in life, it's about productivity. It's about you maximizing the time and avoiding distractions, which we'll talk about very soon. So, focus on productivity. You may be selling a lot and not be making profit. Fine, if it's just at the beginning of the business, before you break even, you may just be doing a lot of things to get attention of people. But we are talking about, at least you know that that's what you are doing. But don't do it for too long. Focus on productivity. Then 11, which looks like it also, avoid distractions. A distracted life is a poor and frustrating one. In fact, Mike Murdock says something. He said that the reason why men become poor is lack of focus. What is lack of focus? Distractions. Now, you've highlighted in the morning that I will do 10 things today. At the end of the day, you didn't finish one. Why? Phone rang, emails came in, you checked. So many things, you know, they were just calling for your attention. Your friend just knocked your door. Guy, come, let's go and enjoy ourselves. And you just leave everything and go out. No. Avoid distraction. There's an episode we dedicated on this also. Please look for it and listen to it. Avoid distractions. The number one reason why people get poor is distractions. Some people are distracted from their dreams. Their goal in life is, oh, I'm going to start a $1 million business. And today, because of distraction, they have not even started one day. Avoid distractions. Then number 12, save. I think we may stop here today. So I will just focus on this and we'll finish the remaining next week. Save. Now, the Bible is not against savings. The Bible says so many things about giving. Do we know that? But I think the Bible says so much more about receiving than even giving. We always assume that the Bible talks about giving. Not only that, do you know how many times the Bible says, God will bless you and expand you and prosper you and increase you? In fact, Jesus, when he was trying to talk to Peter to tell him what the kingdom of God is about, what did he do? After Peter gave him his boat, he gave him a net full of fishes that were breaking. He couldn't even handle it alone. And that's how somebody will end up after this program, that you won't be able to handle your blessings alone. You will need to start hiring people. And that will be your portion in the name of Jesus. So save. It's one of the principles of building wealth. Pastor Sam Adeyemi said something that I listened to several years ago. I think almost 10 years ago. And he said, before, you know, in their ministry, money was never enough. They were always probably even spending more than what came in. And he said, he invited somebody to come and preach. And the person started preaching about saving. And he said that, see, if you don't save, I want to use the same thing. I'm not the one that said it, please. He said, if you don't save, that the head of that person is not correct. I'm just using our normal English Nigeria now. If you don't save, he said the head of that person is not correct. That's what he said. He said, because if the head of the person is correct, you know that if you don't save, there is nothing to fall back to when you need, and there is no way to build wealth. But Sam said he was angry, and he was like, what is this man saying now? He said, before he finished it, he said, I know what you are thinking in your heart. He said that you are saying that it is not enough. He said, it's not because it's not enough, that's why you should start saving, so that it will be enough. He said, he now thought about it. He said, that's true. If I don't save, how will I ever have something to fall back to? How will it ever grow if I don't save? I always finish it. He said, immediately he sent somebody to go and open a bank account. That means they didn't even have a bank account. He said, he sent somebody to go and open a bank account. And he said, from that time, they began to grow. I will give you my own example too. Before, I was making a lot of money then. Not too much, but at least when I was single, I was making at least some enough to take care of me. But you know what? I was never having enough. How the money always disappear, I don't know it. And I was paying my tithe, so there was no devourer. I was the one devouring the money myself. So, I got this glimpse of savings, especially after I got married. Now, I told my wife, we agreed. We said, even if it's 1,000 naira, it must remain in our bank account. Even if it's 100 naira, it must remain, but it must never get to zero. And that's where breakthrough started coming. See, God never blesses zero. If you don't save, there is no guarantee that the person will be wealthy. And that's where we're going to stop today. There is no guarantee at all that the person will be wealthy. I will give four examples. Joseph in the Bible, he told the Egyptians to save 20% of what was coming in. God loves you so much that he only told you to bring 10%. What happens to the remaining 90%? You and I are even struggling to save 20% for ourselves. As you are given to the kingdom of God, you also give to yourself. 20% minimum, save it. Of course, there are so many things to give, but make sure you give and save for yourself. Jesus had a purse. Judas was the keeper of the purse. They had so much money that he was stealing and the other disciples didn't know. Because if they knew, I'm sure probably Peter would have spoken up. Judas, you are stealing too much. They didn't know because they never had to lack one day. So saving, Jesus saved, Joseph saved. Let's look at David too in the Bible. David had a personal purse as a king. And when it was time to build the temple, he said, out of my own personal treasures, I'm giving this much. And the Bible said he gave much more than all the elders of Israel combined together. And one thing we also must know is that your savings, your tithe, everything still belongs to God. The only thing God hates is that, because some people will mention the story of that the rich fool, that God said, today we are requiring your soul from you. The man only thought about himself and did not have any place in his heart that God could even require everything. So the only difference between you and the unbeliever out there who is just saving and saving and saving is that you know that God owns everything. You are just the custodian of this. And if God demands from you everything, you are ready to give it. If he demands half of it, you are ready to give. If he demands any amount, you are ready to give. That's just the difference between you and the unbeliever there. And that's where we're going to stop today. Next week, we'll be talking about some other things like don't chase money, create a system, be rich in good works. I'll be talking about the spiritual system, the health system, the time system, how you must be rich in good works, and how you must stand for righteousness. How you can't just, as a business person, how you can't just take every business that comes your way. You must stand for righteousness. And I'll share some of my own examples, how I had to turn down some jobs in time past that, you know, some people were directly going against the dictates of scriptures, and though they were ready to pay a lot of money, I said no, I'm not going to do this because it's against my faith. I'll mention that next week, so please don't miss it for anything. Okay, our time is fast spent. I believe it's all clear. I've been blessed myself. I've seen what to work on, and I believe many of us are going to make a lot of change in our finances, in our lives, and be blessed in return, in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for today, and I pray that for everyone who has joined today, let everyone have a unique testimony by the time they return next week, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. Teach every one of us how to maximize this world's riches to the benefit of the kingdom, to the benefit of our families, to the benefit of even the world at large, in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed and see you next week, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please remember to share, remember to share, remember to share. Be blessed in Jesus' name. See you next week, and bye.
thegoodsuccess.com.